Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, what's poppin', my G's? PSA Podcast. Salutations to all. Salutations to all. First off, Danny Myers versus Glue Easy just dropped tonight. I want to say about a half an hour ago. So please go watch that and support that. Too much drama going on in battle rap. Let's get back to battle rap real quick. But let me get my bro out of here, man. Peace, my G.
Peace, what's good?
You know what's good, man. Dudes out here appreciating our appreciations of the years of hip-hop that you and I have highlighted. 1994, 1996, 1998, sir. So right now, you and I are going to 1995. Can you set it up with the first album, sir? 1990. First of all, what did 1995 mean to you, first off?
1995 was coming off of 1994, which I consider arguably one of the greatest years in hip-hop history. The debut album of Nas, Biggie, Method Man's first album, Red's second album. 94 was an unbelievable year. And a lot of the people from 94 went into 95 with their 94 albums. So 95 right. was just incredible. And 95, to set it off, let's set it off with the first group, Boot Camp Click. Smith and Wesson just shining. That shit came out the first week of January, and I had it, and the crew had it.
Wow. Four and a half mics, my dude, off the rip. Off jump.
Out.
I can't even get mad at five mics. I'm going to be keeping it real. I can't even get mad. The Shining album, I cannot be mad at somebody saying that's a five mic album. One Time for Your Mind, Soundboy Burial, the remix
Sound
to Soundboy Burial.
Yeah.
The remix.
Woo.
The remix stole. Yeah, man. Bucktown, home of the original Gun Clappers.
So let me just tell you this. Because I've never mentioned that song.
This nigga came off the jump with a classic album.
Bucktown is one of my favorite Brooklyn anthems of all time.
Facts. Talk that shit, nigga.
I can't even explain how much I loved that song. And being that, and I will be clear, I am from Brooklyn. This song meant a lot to me, being from Brooklyn.
Facts.
You know, Bucktown, home of the original Gun Clappers.
I'm born in Brooklyn, nigga, be clear. Facts.
Fire. So, you know, 95, a very slept on year. But as we delve into it,
Wait a minute. How did we forget about one of my favorite songs off this album? Wipe Your Mouth. Lick Up a Shot If You Know Dick. Right now. Lick Up a Shot If You Know Dick. Yo, that, yo, my dude. We used to drive around in my cousin's MPV, and they used to blast this song in the tape deck, my dude. Look how much out there, yeah. Yo, I ain't gonna hold you, though. KRS-One was nice with the Yachty, and Patois mixed in with the hip-hop. Busta Rhymes, obviously. But Smith and Wesson, to me, they took it on some other levels. I love the way they did that shit. Love the way they did that. Coming from Caribbean
there's no question.
Background.
This was, I remember when this album came out, and me and all my New Yorkers, because I was living in Raleigh, North Carolina, and we all had this, and just the sessions of just playing this album,
talk about
all,
it,
in
my
this, all in the dorm room, just like, it's memories that'll never go away, man. Like, this sets off 1995 lovely.
How many mics you giving it, though?
Four mics?
Yes. Really?
Four mics.
Wow.
This is what four mics means.
That's a four and a half mic. Maybe a five.
Okay.
Like I said,
fine,
four.
Man. Yeah, four mics is definitely.
How
dare you? Look at the definition of four mics. Definite hip-hop satisfaction. That's what four mics is.
And what's four and a half, Watson?
It's between classic and definite hip-hop satisfaction. That's all it is. Remember, four mics
Watson is
definite hip-hop satisfaction. Here's why it's not five, because we got a couple of five mics in 1995 coming up.
But this is,
so
this
that's
is definitely
not
four,
five.
Yeah. But my nigga, you're wilding though, because some people say First of all, there was no wax singles that came off this album. Let's be clear on that.
Listen,
you know what I'm saying?
Listen,
and they following,
no
all my niggas, they following Black Moon coming off Black Moon's album and shit. Buckshot held it down, and obviously they in the same crew.
Better than Black Moon's album. Was not better than Into the Stage. This was not better than Into the Stage.
Listen, I don't have a problem with you saying that, but I think if you ask the average fan, a lot of niggas probably would say Smith & Wesson album is right there with Black Moon. It's a classic.
Okay, they'll say it's right there, but
is
they
that
won't
a
say it's better. They can't say it's better. They can't say it's better. And you're gonna
I
don't want to
say it's better, man. It's just a dope album, my nigga. I don't want to say which one's better, my nigga.
It's a dope album. I love it. And there's nothing to argue with. But I'm going to let you know what a classic is as we keep talking about 95. I'm
all right, let me go my album here.
All
right, let me go.
You're
going to
find out what a classic is.
All right. I'm going to Queensbridge. I'm going to QB. Yeah.
Woo.
Even though the other guy is really from Hempstead, Long Island. That's neither here nor there. R.I.P. motherfucking Prodigy, though. Let's be clear on that. R.I.P. Prodigy. I'm going Mobb Deep. Start of your ending. 41st Side, my G.
Oh, God.
Now, like, you came with a haymaker, my dude. I can't go light. You just came with a haymaker off the rip for Smith & Wesson.
You came with more than that. You came with a album of the decade candidate. Not album of 95.
Wow.
This is
album of the decade.
Of the 90s.
I'm not mad at that. I'm not mad at that at all. I can't be mad at that.
Jesus Christ.
Can anybody? Comment, boys. You can't even dispute what Watson just said. You cannot dispute what my bro just said. This album is definitely album of the decade in the 90s. That's a fact. Like, come on. My dude, should we just talk about Shook Ones off the door? Out the door? It's out the gate. Are we just talking
Shook
Ones?
Ones
Rock you in your face?
Shook Ones,
come on,
part
I mean.
Shook Ones Part 2, Out the Gate. Has one of the, to this day, people still freestyle over the beat. That's one of the greatest bass lines in the history of rap. In the history of rap. Oh, and boy, Eminem's 8 Mile sure played a lot of New York 90s hip hop. You know, did you notice that? Detroit MC?
Chill, don't be like that. Pause.
Shook Ones, Time's Up. A lot of New York music, it seems you were listening to Eminem. So,
relax, bro. What does that mean? Come on, what does that mean?
It doesn't mean anything. I'm just highlighting the movie 8 Mile. So,
okay.
This album.
What about the second single, though? What about the second single right after Shook Ones, my G? Survival of the Fittest.
Let me just tell you this, man.
I was Diddy in the video, but whatever.
This album stayed in rotation. Let me put it this way. How great this album is. This is an album that's never left my rotation in 23 years. How about that? It's an album that never left my rotation. Okay? Think about that. It's an album that, once it came out,
Let me tell you niggas something. You niggas need these other Twitter niggas to tell you, a Mobb Deep anniversary album for 41st Side is today. Me and this nigga still playing that shit to this day. But go ahead, my brother.
And we're playing the original. So this is the total definition of what a 5-mic album really is.
That's
okay. Okay. The first song, the start of your ending. The delivery, Havoc production.
Underrated Havoc production.
Underrated is, listen, if Havoc produced all of this, Q-Tip showed him how to arrange it and put it together, but it was already produced by Havoc. This is a 5-mic album.
My nigga, why doesn't Havoc get enough props when they say producers of all time?
Crooked I recently put a tweet out and said, is Havoc underrated as a producer? And I said, hell yeah. The reason
that's
why Havoc has to be underrated as a producer, listen to this album. Havoc produced it. There's no other album. If this was Primo who produced this whole album, RZA or Dre, we'd be singing their praises.
Yep.
Havoc produced this entire album, and yet one talks
Q-Tip.
About him. How dope he is.
Q-Tip had some, some stuff in there.
Q-Tip had three tracks out of 16.
I care, but I gotta say Q-Tip. Gotta give Q-Tip his props. Drink away the pain.
Survival of the Fittest? Who produced Survival of the Fittest?
That's Havoc, isn't it?
Yes. Who produced Shook Ones Part 2?
That's Av. Eye for an Eye.
Who produced Eye for Your Eye?
Cradle to the Grave. Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
So also,
Temperatures, right? Yo, my nigga. How much do niggas love Temperatures Rising, though, with Shorty on the hook?
Niggas, let me just say this. This is a perfect album where, honestly, and I'm being honest with you, you don't have to fast forward anything.
Nope.
You don't have to.
Well,
you can literally just
I don't want to be petty. But you know how sometimes me and you highlight Nas' One Time for Your Mind song?
Yes.
There's a One Time for Your Mind song on this album. I'm not saying I don't like it, but it's a song that I used to always pass through. Up North
okay,
Trip.
But it ain't what,
Up North Trip. Ouch.
Okay. Every song on this album is better than One Time for Your Mind.
The One Time for Your Mind song that I'm going to, you know what I mean?
So let me just be clear. I4NI, one of the great collabos of all time.
Word.
One of the greatest collaborations you guys will ever hear. Which what I did not realize was setting off something about Raekwon that I was not expecting. I'm like, okay, Raekwon's on the song. What's the big deal? I didn't think nothing of it. I just heard it. It's classic.
The other day you had made you were talking about Band from TV, one of the best collabos of all time.
Of all time, yes.
Where's I4NI in that conversation? Because I know it's real underground.
Right there. Standing right next to Band from TV. Or
but a lot of niggas wouldn't say that, though.
Teeth.
A lot of niggas wouldn't say that. They'll put Headbanger, some other joints, you know, Scenario,
And guess what? And Headbanger is I4NI is as good as any collaboration song that's ever made in history of hip hop. Let me say something better. I4NI, Mobb Deep featuring Nas and Raekwon, is one of the greatest hip hop collaborations ever made. Period. End of discussion.
I can't argue, brother. Niggas like
first
when we argue.
We
can't
Big
argue.
Noise.
Some shit is real.
First time
yeah,
we heard Big Noi
yeah.
give up the goods. First time we heard Big Noi give up the goods.
And
you
the subliminal shots.
WP.
Let's talk about the subliminal shots at Keith Murray, Redman, Bo Thugs and Harmony. That shit was wild.
What
we first heard that. Like, okay.
What song?
Hmm?
What song? What song?
The intro. Not the song. The intro. When it was that spaced out shit. Don't even make no sense. When they were just talking shit in a skit. It was a skit, remember?
Yes.
That spaced out shit don't even make no sense. That shit was crazy, though.
Give up the goods. Big Noi's voice. Big Noi's versus the R-A-P-P-E-R-N-O-Y-D. I know the whole verse to that.
Yes, that shit is classic. Noi got a classic verse, though. That's a fact.
It's a verse. It's a verse. It was my favorite verse on that song, you know?
yeah, that's a fact.
QU Hectic, one of the greatest Sinister beats you'll ever hear in life.
Let me say this right now. Prodigy's second verse. Slow it down, comment, boys. Prodigy's second verse on QU Hectic. That's all I can say. Come back and play that.
And guess what?
Prodigy's second verse and come back over and come talk to us.
QU Hectic is perfect song. And then they decide they're going to do another collaboration with Ghostface and Raekwon. Again, Ghost and Ray going back and forth, and I still don't know what I'm listening to. I don't have an appreciation. I know they're from the Wu, but I'm still not prepared for what I've been listening to. Right back at you, classic.
That's when niggas had heavy hitters on the albums, boy.
Woo.
Heavy hitters.
Credit to the Great.
You can't even be a whack nigga to get on this kind of album, my nigga. You can't even be some type of C-minus MC type back then and shit, my nigga.
So listen, I don't want to. We did a Mobb Deep appreciation. Let me just say this. We may not be able to find another album that came out in this year better than this album, in my opinion. This is how album is to me. It might be the best album of 1995. Now that's going to be a debate, but that's how real this album was, man. It's a perfect hip hop album. It's never left rotation. That's what I'm trying to tell you, nigga. In 23 years, it's never left rotation. All right.
Mm.
So you went to Mobb Deep, right?
Where you going? Yep.
I'm gonna go back. I'm going to keep the years. I'm going to keep how the year was progressing. So I'm a big Wu-Tang fan. I'm a fanatical Knicks fan.
I know where you're going right now. I know exactly where you're going.
I'm going to Brooklyn
yep.
to my man,
yep.
Sweet Baby Jesus.
Oh,
ODB.
With the other side of Brooklyn. Okay. Okay.
ODB returned to 36 Chambers.
Ooh.
That was the second Wu-Tang album. It has one of the greatest album covers of all time. ODB.
Yes, the food stamp.
With the food stamp. One of the greatest of all time. And they had two videos for the same song for Brooklyn Zoo. One when they was in the hallways.
I love
and the
Brooklyn
other one
Zoo,
when they was fighting. And it was just, this is as raw as hip hop as you'll ever see. In terms of just raw hip hop, look at the video for Brooklyn Zoo. That's as raw as you'll ever see hip hop ever shown on video, as far as I'm concerned. He was the second biggest star after Method Man. He got a deal straight off Elektra. Elektra snatched him up after they heard him freestyle on Stretch and Barbito. They signed him on the spot after a freestyle. So he came right after Method Man. And yes, I had this album. This album impacted my life.
Four mics.
It's a four mic album. It's a four mic album, but I really
enjoyed it. Not a strong four mics. Rawhide was my favorite song on his album. Rawhide is my fucking joint. Rawhide.
Oh, no, no.
With Raekwon and Meth. That's my favorite joint. You bugging. Rawhide was crack.
My favorite song on this album was Damage with the GZA.
I like Damage. Not more than Rawhide, though, man. Wicked Woman put inferior blood in stew. Don't that make the stew witches brew? Yo, Meth was wilding on it.
Oh, yes. Meth was wilding. Because Method Man is top four MC of the decade of the entire 90s. Method Man. So, yeah.
Top five?
Method Man shine. Top five. Easy. For the whole decade of the 90s, top five. Easy. Method Man. Method Man, here's what's so funny. Method Man's going to be all over. Method Man's going to be all over our 95 appreciation because he's on a lot of these albums we're about to talk about. So loved ODB's album. Snakes. Oh, so let me get back to Rhythm's production.
Snakes was dope.
Man,
Snakes was dope.
Snakes was dope.
Snakes was dope. I'm not going to hold you.
So Rhythm's production, Rhythm's sampling Kung Fu Flicks to me is second to none. Kung Fu Flicks was one of my passion back in the days. You know, I'm from
facts,
the Five Deadly Venom
era.
You know what I'm saying? I'm from the Five Deadly Venom era, Kid with the Golden Arm era. You know what I'm saying? So this is the beginning of RZA's most creative year he's ever had.
He was on his run.
1995 is the year the RZA becomes the Abbott Resurrector and a GOAT producer. So the album I talked about was ODB, Return to 36 Chambers, the dirty version.
Four mics, definitely.
Four mics, no doubt.
I'm staying in Brooklyn, though. I'm staying with the Wu, in fact. I'm definitely staying with the Wu now. Meth dropped, Dirty dropped, Ray dropped, and then that guy, the GZA, you know that guy, Liquid Swords, Cold War. Yo, Liquid Swords, let me tell you, I did not expect this album to be the way when I first copped it. And just to hear the joints on it, I was shocked that this album was going to be the way it was, bro. I'm not going to hold you. How many mics you give it?
4.5.
And a half?
Yep.
I'm not. Gotta read the labels. What was the first single off this album? Was it? It wasn't labels, was it?
No.
It was Cold War.
Remember that song? When the MC came to blow out the train. I'm not sure if that was the first single, but let's just get to the album. This album is 4.5, but to me, it's a 5-mic classic to me personally. Now, we skipped a prominent Wu album we're going to talk about, but since you went to this, GZA has always been a top-notch MC. There have been rumors that the Genius battled Jay-Z in Brooklyn somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the legendary rumors.
He probably
that they
lost.
Battled.
He probably lost. Sorry, GZA.
So, but I'm just saying, in terms of the legendary status you hear about him, we know he battled the New Music. We know that GZA battled the New Music Seminar and won and defeated every MC.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fact. So we do know that, right?
GZA was rapping before. Well, let's be clear. GZA was rapping before. He was rapping before the Wu, though. You know, he was known before.
So we do know this. No, I'm just talking about GZA. The GZA, to me, to my Wu heads, we considered him like, they considered him like the best. When Wu first came out, they asked, yo, who the best MC out of here? Because GZA was more established than everybody, they would all be like, oh, it's the GZA. It's the GZA. That's what they would say. That's all first verse. They would say that because he was more established than all of them. And he was dead nice. Okay? This album has 5-mic collaboration songs. Songs that I will put against any songs you guys
my nigga.
Like. I'm a name.
Can I just say this right quick, though?
Yeah.
Shadow Boxing. When I first heard Shadow Boxing, my nigga, didn't Neff set that off? Did memory serve me right?
Yes.
Meth had two verses. I got
Tommy
your back.
Tommy and my motherfucking boy. Tommy and my motherfucking boy. When you fake moves on the niggas, you employ. Yes.
You employ. Oh, my Lord. Gotta read the labels. You gotta read the labels. Oh, my Lord.
Shadowboxing. My style break motherfuckers back like Kempaterra.
Terra.
Yo, did
Kempaterra. That's our era, my nigga.
No.
Kempaterra.
Yo. So let me just tell you. Fourth Chamber. Ghostface Killer. RZA, Killer Priest, and GZA. Let me just say this. Killer Priest, I judge wisely, as if nothing ever surprised me. Lounging between two pillars of ivory, I'm live. That song was too much for me. So when I tell you this album is 4.5 mics, I'm saying that to you guys who I don't feel like arguing with. To me personally, it is a 5-mic classic to me. Me, I'm only talking
about
my personal ears.
What about Cold World, though, my nigga? That was
fire
with him and Deck.
Who was on Cold World?
And the remix.
Who was on the
Jizz and Deck. Jizz
and
Deck, your man Deck. Inspector Deck. Rubber 9S, man.
My man Deck?
Yeah.
My
Rubber
9S,
man.
The same guy who's on Above the Clouds, because we highlighted that in our 98 appreciation. The same guy who's on Chaley Shade, because we highlighted that on the 98 appreciation. That guy?
Yeah, that guy. Uncle
that
Substance,
guy, that guy.
All that. Yeah.
That guy. Okay. Okay. Rebel INS. Peter Parker, Neighborhood Spider-Man. That guy, right?
Yeah, facts, my
that
nigga.
That guy.
Hold on.
So,
Duel of the Iron Mike, my nigga.
By the way, the ODB body the hook? The ODB body
facts.
The hook?
That's a fact. That's a fact.
Yo, come on, man. My kind
investigative reports.
If y'all want to know what's Watson's kind of hip hop, P95 is letting you know. Mobb Deep, The Shining, GZA. Every album we've named so far is me. It's who I am in hip hop.
Facts.
So,
well said, my nigga.
You give it 4 mics. I give it 4.5. So it's my turn. Since we did, I might as well knock out the trifecta. We did ODB. We went to Liquid Swords. So we might as well go back to the next magnum opus of 1995, an album that I will argue is another contender for album of the decade. Dechef and Tony Starks. The Purple Tape. The run.
You know
this is the RZA as a mad genius scientist, where he's so much of a genius, I don't even think he knew how much of a genius he was with this album. Purple Tape.
Classic. Five mics. We're not even going to do that. Come on, my nigga.
Five mics.
A strong five mics, too. A strong five mics.
I'll set it off, man. Let's just set it off with their collaborations with an outside MC. His name is Escobar Season. Nas Esco. Rebel Intercourse, man. When you first heard that, what you thought when you first heard it?
I gotta be real. It didn't even matter what Ghost and Ray said. I don't mean no disrespect to them niggas, man. But Nas, first of all, the skit going into Verbal Intercourse. You know, let's talk about that. The skit going into Verbal Intercourse when Ghostface is talking about niggas been up with Nas shit. And Nas' verse is legendary. Like, y'all niggas, I understand. Legendary. I think everybody, like, Classic song off the rip. And Nas and obviously Wu always had a good relationship.
Can you tell everybody what Nas said from the womb to the tomb? You heard it again by another rapper. Can you tell everybody who's the other rapper who used verbatim from the womb to the tomb?
Oh, God. Nas, why is it?
Could you tell everybody,
I don't want to talk about that right now, man. Let's keep it on this, man. Keep it moving.
Okay, that's all. S-Dot Cardi, you must try hard.
I mean,
all right.
Well, why does that have to be brought up in this conversation? I don't understand.
Okay, so back to the album.
What? I mean, Jesus Christ. Y'all talking about old, right? Common Boys.
A lot of times when Dre says what's up to me, I say knowledge God.
Please.
The reason why I say knowledge God is because of this album.
Mm-hmm.
Because of this album.
Was that the first song of the album?
It was Knuckleheads.
Knuckleheads, pardon self. Knowledge God is fire though. That beat is even though I'm sniffing coke. He was sniffing coke in the beginning, but neither here nor there. But go ahead.
Okay, what do you think about Criminology? Fuck rap, hip hop for me off top, Lil Wiz and Tommy Hill fly shit with a knife. What you think about that?
That shit was classic. The video was fire. That shit was running the crew tapes. That shit was running the mixtapes, my nigga. Like, that's a fact.
Tell everybody
song.
How popular
Grace of
the
ice.
Song Ice Cream.
Ice Cream? Nah, let's be real, my nigga. Ice Cream.
How popular Ice Cream was in the street.
Yo, my nigga, I'm thinking about it now. How many videos did Ray have off this album, my nigga? Heaven or Hell, Criminology, Grace of the
Ice. Criminology. Incarcerated Scarface. Can it all
Incarcerated Scarface.
Okay, so let me just say this now. Let's get to Incarcerated Scarface. Let me just say this about Incarcerated Scarface. It's one of my favorite songs.
Musky as fuck, waving the arms, the A-Rams.
African denied niggas up in yellow pants. Let me tell you about Raekwon. Raekwon had one of the most unique original gutter flows that I'd ever heard in my life. I'm talking about his flow and his delivery was so street hood that Raekwon had one of my favorite flows to listen to for about a 3-year period. Like 43, 95, 96, 97, I could hear Ray rap with anybody. And I would like Ray as much as anybody who rapped. Okay? Like Incarcerated, Scarface. Who's the kid up in the Green Land? Me and the Rizzo Connect, blow through the dudes, half the schools, with the monster crews. Come on, man. Real niggas lick shots, Peace, Connecticut. Like, he just threw words together that just.
Hold on. How about Capadonna having one of the best verses on that album, my nigga? On Winter Wars. Can we talk about Capadonna's verse on Winter Wars, my G?
So, just to not throw you off, but that was on Iron Man.
That was Iron Man. Wait a minute. I'm bugging. Smoke too much.
So, let's do a quick one through. Heaven to Hell.
Shark niggas. Hold on. And when we talk about shark niggas, because you and I always talk about shark niggas, but, you
we
know.
We get it from here. this is so crazy. Our vocabulary was tamed because
That's
of this album.
Fact.
The way we talk is because of this album. Vocabulary changed because of this album. And I know I'm not.
And this was the album. Like, this was the album also when niggas started changing their names and shit.
Woo!
Like Diamonds, Raleigh Fingers. Yeah.
Yes. Wu Gambino's. Rikis, we can't be much. Shut it. Hey, Cool Papa. Yo. It was so crazy. This is a five right now. So let's to be clear. The Resurrector became the number one producer in my mind because of 1995. He released 2 5 mic albums and a strong 4 mic album in 1995. You could not deny the RZA in 1995. You could not deny him. This is 3.
He's on his run, my nigga. He's on his run.
You can't deny him. So you can go to one now. We took over the we got the RZA trilogy out the way.
So let me ask you a question before I go to my album. Raekwon Only Built for Cuban Links or Mobb Deep 41st Side?
And that is the debate I will always have with myself, because they both impact me the same way. They're flawless 5 mic albums that can't get played out to me. Like, you can't tell me to listen to Incarcerated Scarface and then go listen to Shook One and then pick.
Yeah, that's
because
that's,
they both mean the same thing.
You can't go
wrong. You can't tell me to listen to I for an I and then listen to Verbal Intercourse and say which collab with Nas did was better. It's like, this is how good those two albums are to me. All
right.
So they're the same album, different.
I'm going to Queens. I'm going to Q-U-2-E-N-S. This guy was from the infamous Juice Crew. He was on the Symphony. He birthed a lot of one of your favorite rappers, Nas Escobar. I know Rakim gets mentioned in birthing in Nas, but this individual does also. Okay, let's be clear on that. In 1995, he dropped his album 4-5-6. I'm talking about Mr. Coogi Rap, who Mr. Watson just last year copped his album. Let's be clear on that. Coogi Rap 4-5-6, Fast Life, my nigga, with Nasty Nas was everything, was it not, sir? It's a shame.
So, so in 1995, this is a side topic. Nas had Illmatic, but it wasn't a commercial success. So in 1995, Nas appeared on 3 separate albums, and he gave us 3 separate verses. I for an I verse, Verbal Intercourse verse, and Fast Life with Coogi Rap. There's a video for you. Can YouTube it and watch the video. Nas didn't have an album in 1995, but he stayed in my consciousness as a top MC in 1995. Based on his verses.
And hold on, and let's be clear. For a dude like G-Rap, who came into the game late 80s, man, and for Nas, who grew up listening to G-Rap, you could just imagine him, the ill feeling he had to be in a lab to do this particular song with one of his hip-hop idols. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you're a rapper and you get to do a song with a nigga you looked up to for your whole rapping life, and you couldn't wait to get in a lab with this nigga, and it's finally that time to grab the pen and pad and come up with some music and get in a stew and drop a verse, that's got to be the illest feeling in the world, my nigga.
Not only was it amazing, Nas is on the album cover. If any of you guys have the album cover, Nas is on the album cover. Okay?
What did I say about G-Rap?
I'm a big G-Rap fan.
Having Nas on there, though.
So G-Rap knew how great Nas was.
Facts.
There's a song on this album called Take Him to War. Shit ain't never gonna change. Fuck it, Tommy. Woo! My God, the beat was crazy. He and my man MF Grimm's Underground Dude.
MF Grimm's
circulating hard.
Hold on, my nigga. We're not gonna talk about It's a Shame. That's my shit right there. Oh my God, I love that shit. That was my shit right there.
Absolutely.
Wow, G-Rap flow, man.
So Buck Wild. So Jay-Z said, hear me rhyme, G-Rap in his prime. Well,
I
don't know what G-Rap ever he's talking about, but this is G-Rap never not knew how to rhyme. G-Rap can rhyme. If you want to hear how G-Rap sounds with Nas in Nas's prime, listen to the song Fast Life, and you'll understand why Pun, Nas, and everybody else worships G-Rap. Why Mobb Deep will always put G-Rap on a song without thinking. Why anybody from Queens who rap will do songs with G-Rap.
Ask them Griselda niggas. Ask them Griselda niggas, man. I interviewed Conway. He could, when he was in the booth with G-Rap, he said it was like, wow, I can't believe I'm in the fucking lab with G-Rap. Like, my nigga. Like, you know what I'm saying? So.
Did we do an appreciation?
Appreciation. Of course.
Yes,
man,
we
did. Come on, man.
So as you can see, we always did appreciation with G-Rap. So, yes. G-Rap. So now let's go to this next album. I know you guys are like, how are these guys in 1995 and they ain't talk about our favorite album? Because I know a lot of you dudes is like, this is so New York biased. Okay, I'm going to let you niggas live. There's another monumental album that came out in 1995. It's Crooked Eye's favorite album from this artist. It was Me Against the World, Tupac Shakur. Come on, my brother, say something.
The nigga's locked up in prison when this album came out. Was he the first rapper that dropped the album, had the number one album while he's locked up? No promotion. You know, it's funny. When Tony Ayo was locked up, he says the reason why Predicate of a Felon didn't sell the way it sold because he was locked up and he could promote it right. Boy, you look at Tupac in 1995, he's locked up and it didn't need no promotion at all. It sold itself. Sold his name on the strength of Tupac. Dear Mama, I mean, I'm gonna go up the rip up that song alone. I'm going straight up to that song alone, my nigga.
Tell the people how your MTV Raps and BET used to play that video for Dear Mama.
My nigga, that shit was on fucking like speed dial, my nigga. That shit was like on fucking speed dial every fucking
day.
And I can understand why, my nigga. I understood why.
That's
the side of Tupac that people love.
His was crazy.
You know what I'm saying?
His was crazy.
The angel
because
side
Pac
of Tupac.
Was in jail, because Pac was in jail, they would show pictures of his mother. And his mother would be
yep.
in there and just show pictures of Pac all throughout it. The fact that he was in jail, the fact that he recorded this album in 94, it came out in 95. This man is in jail. And it is the number one rap album of in America.
Yep.
Rap in America. So many tears.
Oh, my nigga, I ain't gonna front though. That's you're my nigga. So many tears. Where that beat, Jesus Christ, my nigga. Pac really went hard body on that joint. I ain't gonna front, man. I love So Many Tears. Old school.
I love old school. My personal favorites that people nobody likes but me. Can You Get Away? Ever since I met you, I could feel the pressure. He was talking to a girl who was in an abusive relationship. He was kicking it to her. Like I really no yo. Let me just tell you, this is one of my favorite songs of 1995. When I make my 1995 compilation tape, there are two songs that I take off of this album. One of them is "Can You Get Away?" So much pressure in the air, but I can't get that. And then "Old School." What more can
I like
I say?
School,
I wouldn't be here today if the old school didn't pave the way. And what is so important about this song is Pac from his own mouth
recognition
tells you. He tells
the recognition.
Who he listened to.
Mm-hmm.
That says it all.
I love
Pac
when niggas do
tells
that.
You, Pac tells you who inspired him, who he listened
you know what?
To.
I love
that
old school. School, Lord knows. I like young niggas also. Death Around the Corner wasn't bad. Yo, you know what? For a nigga Tupacalypse is straight. All Eyes on Me. I know people go crazy over that album, but this is for me. If I had to pick a Pac album that I like, would be Me Against the World.
Okay. I just want to say this album led to the legend of Pac. He became – so this is the album while he was in jail. So after this album – so he stayed in jail like this whole year. So when
he
came out –
he went on a run after this. He went on a run.
When he came out, that's the Death Row Pac. So this album is a classic album, I'm going to say. It's a lot of people's favorite Pac album, and I'm just letting y'all know this is Pac in rare form, young Pac too.
All right, my nigga, I'm gonna go to the Midwest, my nigga. Yeah, I'm gonna go to a group that niggas been asking us to do appreciation for the longest for these brothers, and I understand why they did this, why they feel that way, especially coming off their first debut album. This is a group that was under the tutelage of Eazy-E, R.I.P. Eazy-E. Yeah, my nigga, I'm going Bone Thugs and Harmony, E-199 Eternal album, my G. Yeah, man, I'm going that album. For the Love of Money, First of the Month. Yeah, those songs is,
so let me,
was getting bad. Crossroad, my nigga.
Let me say this about this album.
Biggie was bumping this. Let's be clear on that.
Let's now talk about 1995 for real. This was the number one selling first week album in 1995. You just highlighted two songs that dominated. So let me tell you how big Bone Thugs and Harmony was. You did not have to buy a Bone Thugs Harmony album to know their songs and listen to it.
Yeah.
Meet Me at the Crossroads was big.
It's big.
First
still
getting
played to this day, my nigga.
Hold on, my nigga.
Crossroads in 2018 still gets burned. And when niggas play that, there's a reason why that song still gets burned in 2018. It meant something to a lot of niggas and shit. It still means something to this day, to Dead Homies and all that. That song was everything, my nigga.
Not only was this album commercially successful, this album, it was commercially successful, it was critically acclaimed. The harmonizing and flow on this was immaculate. It was perfect.
They set that shit off, to be honest.
I'm not going to say they put the Midwest on the map, because the Midwest was here. We knew because Karma was here already. But they became superstars.
They pushed
Mariah
the needle.
Carey
they pushed
them,
the needle, though.
Biggie loved them. They were, in terms of harmonizing and rapid fire flow, Crazy Bones people will argue Crazy Bones is the best to ever do it when it comes to rapid fire flow.
Twister 2.
So this album is, I'm going to call this album 4.5 mics, man.
I got 4 mics. So we would say 5, though, to be honest with you.
I'm going to say First of the Month. I mean, just the song First of the Month, Crossroads, and what was the other one you said?
First of the Month, For the Love of Money, Crossroads.
Oh, those
and,
songs alone. Oh, my God.
Crept and We Came. I love that song, too. The Eternal song I like. East 99. I like a couple joints on here. Can't front.
So let me be
Ruthless
clear,
Records,
man.
My nigga.
Let me be very clear. Bone Thugs and Harmony had a bigger, they were more commercially successful. They had a bigger
than
impact
a lot of
in terms of how everybody, than the albums we previously named, in terms of how the masses accepted them. So nothing but respect due to Bone Thugs and Harmony.
Facts.
E-1999 Eternal. Now I'm going to the second, I'm going to the West Coast.
Okay, let's go.
Now, one of my favorite MCs was
on
an album called The Chronic.
Mm.
And then I heard him again on Snoop's debut album. So he and his partner, Daz Dillinger, came out with their first album, Dog Food, The Dog Pound. Talk about it, man.
Let's be clear, man. I'm a West Coast fan, especially in the early 90s. And let's be real, my nigga. From the day Snoop came through the door, we as New York hip-hop historian guys that believe that New York hip-hop, we knew the West Coast was here. Like, we knew that. So Dre drops The Chronic. Snoop drops Doggy Style, right? So, obviously, you got niggas in your crew. I don't want to say like a Tony Yeo or Lloyd Banks kind of thing in the West Coast. Can I put Daz and Corrupt in that fold, in the sense that Snoop was like 50 and they was under him, but he gave those guys, even though he wasn't on the album, because 50 was on Beg for Mercy. But the Dog Pound dropped the album, my nigga, and out the gate, this is the height of the East Coast, West Coast rumbling, so to speak. New York, New York. So as New York niggas, can we highlight the song New York, New York already, how they was crushing the buildings in the video, even though I heard the trailer got shot up? Neither here nor there. But can we talk about that, how big New York, New York was?
New York ain't been the same since Snoop crushed the buildings. I'm trying
buildings.
To restore the feeling.
Yeah. Feeling.
Okay?
Yeah.
That had big-time impact. Biggie called up Flex and was like, yo, they shooting a video in New York. They dissed in New York. So that was – let me just say this. I personally have never forgiven Snoop for doing that. Snoop, who the fuck are you coming through kicking down the
come on, my nigga. Come on, son. You're not off that already? You're not off that?
I'm not off that. I'm not off that.
Come on, my nigga. You got to get off that.
Okay, so let me call Tupac. Let me call Tupac. I ain't a killer, but don't push me. Revenge is the sweetest thing next to
kicking and pushing, my nigga. Yes.
Okay? So as a New Yorker, how you think I'm supposed to feel? Why do you think Jay-Z said New York ain't been the same since Snoop crushed the building? Why do you think he wrote that? Years later he wrote that. It was still on his mind. Come on. So let me just be clear. This album, four mics.
I agree.
Four album, four mics.
Had respect on there. Dog Pound Gangsters. Hold on. Dog Pound Gangsters, my joint, though. I was playing that shit heavy. And let me say this, man. Yeah, Corrupt rep the West Coast heavy, but he got Philly ties to him. Neither here nor there, but a lot of people said, you know, I fuck with Corrupt heavy and shit. I thought Corrupt was dope, and Daz, who does not get a lot of props, in my opinion, for production alone. Daz is a dope producer, my G. I just want to highlight that right quick, man. For Mike Al, man, Big Pimpin' 2, before Jay-Z did Big Pimpin', they had a song called Big Pimpin' 2. Just want to highlight that also. Nice album.
I agree. I give it four mics. This is a big selling album. Corrupt, the Kingpin. He was one of my favorite MCs from the Dark Knight.
Sidebar. He was piping down Foxy when she was Corrupt. Shout out to you, my G. That's a fact. When she was ripe. Just want to highlight that right quick. For real.
I'm not co-signing that.
I'm co-signing that. Shout out to you, Corrupt.
I'm
fuck this nigga talking about.
I'm not
co-signing
that.
I'm co-signing that.
Okay.
Shout out to Corrupt.
I'm not
co-signing
again. That.
I'm co-signing that. Shout out to Corrupt.
When she was ripe,
this nigga
what does that
about.
Mean? When she was ripe. What does that mean?
when Foxy was out here, man. Yo, Foxy, yo, bro. Foxy, the right time. Put it like that. Yeah, Foxy at the right time. I'm going to Queens. I'm going to Killer Queens. And you know what's funny, Watson? When we just did our 1998 appreciation, we highlighted these brothers' album also. But we got to highlight the 95 album, man. I'm going to the Ballhead guys. You know the guys, the Ballhead, Onyx, All We Got Is Us album? Yeah, I'm going there, my G. Can I just talk about Last Days right quick? Yeah. Fire album. 4.5 for me personally, because a lot of my niggas, we used to play this album like crazy. Purse Snatchers, Live Niggas. 4.5 for me, man. All We Got Is Us. Yeah, Live Niggas. Fuck motherfuckers.
Yeah. This is rough. Because we got is us.
It's us.
I agree with you. This was an album that I really banged. I'm a big, big fan of Onyx in the 90s. I thought they were real hardcore.
I don't think a lot of niggas. I don't think Onyx gets enough props on how consistent they were with their albums and shit. From their first album down and shit. Their first three albums were very crucial, my G. Back the Fuck
no,
Up.
No, I'm going
to. We Are the Streets, you know what I'm saying? I said We Are the Streets. The other album had 98 in this one.
So I'm gonna hit you with an album that did not have success. It was a 3.5 album.
Okay.
But
all right.
It impacted me. I bought it, and there's a lot of history on this album. A lot of history. I'm going all to right. Big L, Lifestyle to the Poor Dangerous.
Oh. 3.5? Oh.
Or 4?
You said 3.5?
Or 4.
I'm going 4 mics, my G. What are we doing here? You mean like that
okay,
album?
Go 4 mics. We go 4 mics.
We go 4 mics. Can we talk about the first single with
MVP?
Fucking Kid Capri?
Oh, put it on. Put it on, Big L.
Yeah.
Put it on.
That was my
produce
shit.
My
MVP. No ends,
yes.
No skins.
Yes.
All
yes.
Black. This nigga said 3.5. All my P, Big L. And yes, niggas coming, boys. We have a Big L appreciation. Shout out to us real quick. Street Struck.
So
the Graveyard.
So I want to talk to the battle rap fans. I want to talk to the battle rap fans who love battle rap so much, and they talking about Mook versus Surf. Y'all love talking about that, right? So because you guys know so much about Murder Mook. So if you guys want Murder Mook on Mount Rushmore and y'all love his battles, one of the MCs he battled, Party Artie, is on this album. And he's
that's
on this song called
The
Graveyard, which is a fire collaboration song. Let me be very clear about this.
Mm-hmm.
Big L had the best verse on this song.
That's a fact.
Are we in agreement to that? We're
in agreement with that, bro. Come on.
We're in agreement. Okay. Tell us who else.
Dog, I can't argue with that.
Was anybody else on this song who's prominent?
Who else on that song, my G?
On the song The Graveyard.
Party on The Graveyard.
Lord Finesse
was on
it. Was on
there.
Granddaddy IU was on it.
Grady.
Somebody else was on this song. Young
niggas
Vito.
Spill the beans.
Young Vito.
Boy, young Hove. But niggas, niggas didn't care about Hove at that time, my G. Let's be clear, man.
But we got to give guys the history of what it was.
Of course.
Who had the best verse on this song?
Who had the best song on there?
Who had the best verse
best
on the
verse?
Song The Graveyard?
On Big L.
Yeah, you going Big L. Like, you act like that's...
Because Jay's verse, you know what it is? I'm trying to remember Jay's verse in my head, my nigga. And it ain't really coming to me.
You remember?
His flow, it was Fushnik. My nigga, it was Fushnik in it, but it was, that's what I'm saying. Niggas didn't really care about Hov. I mean, you about to crack on his Fushnik flow. But okay, calm yourself down, my G.
You know how you rap? Big O had the better verse. Big O had the better verse. There's nothing controversial.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie.
Now let's go to a snippet of another song called Eight Is Enough.
Hold on.
That's
it. Well, that's on that album?
What do you mean?
You're talking about Eight Is Enough. Okay, Eight Is Enough. Yeah, continue.
Eight Is Enough. I'm introduced to another MC. Killer Cam is on a song called Eight Is Enough. So,
Children of the Corn, my nigga.
Album had a lot of history. It had a lot of classic producers, classic MCs. Mm. Buckwild, Lord Finesse, Showbiz. You know what I'm saying? So this is an album that had an impact on me. So we did an appreciation on Big L, but we have to shout that out.
All right, my nigga, I'm going to Queens, man. I'm going to Queens. I want a Southside Jamaica Queens, in fact, man. You know where I'm going? I'm going with the Lost Boys, my G. I'm going with the Lost Boys' first album. Can we? The Lost Boys, they had a little run in 95, son. We got to be clear on that.
Hold on. So, they had two singles. They had Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous.
And Renee.
And Lex Coop Beam was in the band, right?
And Renee.
But I don't know if the album came out in 95, though. I think the album came out the following year. I don't think it did.
Nah, it came out in 95, my G. I'm looking right now.
I don't think it did. I think it came out in 96.
Came out in 96?
Yeah, that's what I think.
Look right here. I think you might be right, though. Hold on. That might be 96, though.
They had the two singles. And
It had the two singles on there, didn't it?
The two singles in 95 that they had was Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous and Let's Who Beams of the Benz. But I don't think they dropped that album in 95. I think it dropped the following year.
Okay. I don't know if I want to highlight this album too much, my nigga. I bought this shit, my nigga, my dude. I bought this album. Really wasn't... I'm going to be respectful when I say this, man. What do you think about Naughty by Nature's Poverty Paradise album?
No. That album, that's not the album that they came out with. That's what they called it?
Yeah, because I'm looking at this. Okay. I got a tape right now.
Okay, so let me tell you about the Poverty Parish.
Nah, no, Eddie, I'm sorry.
I loved the song Craziest. Now, let me just tell you personally, I loved the song Craziest. New York niggas is the craziest. Uptown niggas is the craziest. Listen, like, I really, really loved that song. I was still in my Tretch phase of hip-hop. I didn't feel he had fallen off. You know what I'm saying? I didn't. So
right.
I actually liked this album. I wasn't against this album at all. I fucked with Poverty's Paradise. They were still the biggest East Coast group. They were still bigger than everybody
yeah.
in terms of commercials. That's the group. They were still bigger than everybody.
Right.
I mean, they won the Grammy over Biggie. Tretch came on the video
yeah.
talking about, hey, y'all hating on me, y'all man, because I won the Grammy over Biggie. I'm supposed to win the Grammy over Biggie. You know, he said all that, and fine. But I like this album. I ain't going front. I like this album, man. I like Poverty Paradise.
Yeah.
And you had to highlight that because they were one of the biggest rap groups of the time when they came out. That was only their third album. So they were still one of the biggest rap groups when that came out. So I fucked with this album.
Three mics, my nigga. Three mics.
Okay. All right.
I'm sorry, man.
I'm going to do it quick. You don't got to go into it, man. I agree with you. It's, you know, you don't got to. They ain't no shade to it.
Yeah,
I'm going into it,
nigga. We talking about the fucking album. Three mics. Disappointed.
All right, three mics. Three mics.
That shit was
okay.
Like Hollow the Don versus fucking Hitman Holler, my nigga. Disappointing.
I'm not going to disagree with you. I want to go to the next album right quick. Junior Mafia Conspiracy.
Aye. Continue.
Let's talk about their singles. Play's Anthem was a summer
classic.
Anthem in 1995.
Classic.
It was a summer anthem in 1995. Okay? And then they released another single called I Need You Tonight. That was commercial. Like, they did the whole – everything about this was just commercial to get money, right? But they released, to me, one of the greatest male-female collabo songs of all time, Get Money. Get Money is one of my favorite songs of all time.
Yeah.
I play Get Money, and I never stop. I never stop. This album highlights how great Biggie was. According to Little C's, Biggie took everybody off the block and said, yo, I'm going to get money with y'all, and I'm going to write all y'all verses and put an album out. This is according to Little C's.
No, we
got to
highlight that. We got to highlight that. I think we can't just breeze over that comment you said because it's so true what you said. What does that say about Biggie, though? Being that he can write niggas material and still try to get his people off the block and put them in position.
It's not to basically take care of himself. He got them off the block.
Well, he got them off the block. You know what I'm saying? To basically get his people off the block and put them in right positions to move right.
This
basically.
Album,
you know what I'm saying?
This album was so important because it let Puffy know Big does not need you to pop off. So you have to treat him different. You have to treat him special. Because Puffy ain't getting none of this money. This is all Big and Undies. And entertainment, they got this money. You do realize that, right?
Yeah.
Just Big and Diddy got none of this money. This is all Big's money. Puffy saw that, and he immediately re-upped. Big, I just re-upped. I just negotiated a new deal with Arista. Here's $5 million for this because you my man. All right? He understood. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, this is a 3.5 mic album to me. It had the singles, you know, Biggie could write for you, but, you know, if you can't really rap like that, you know. But he had powerhouse singles. Get Money and the Get Money remix. Frank White, the Desperado, used to rock the All Black Movado, All Black El Dorado, All Hat in the Ball of John P. Hooker Scan on me, I keep it on me. Yeah, Biggie.
Yeah, man.
Biggie, nigga.
Yeah, man. Brooklyn, man.
What the fuck is niggas talking about? So I just wanted to quickly highlight Junior Mafia's album. You had to.
Yeah.
Where you going?
I'm going to go to the West Coast, and the reason I'm going to say this, I'll say this person's album, on the strength of, I remember this nigga's album used to get burned heavy. I wasn't the biggest fan of this dude, but Mac 10's album in 1995 was fucking crazy. I think that was the beginning of the West Side Connection In fact, that's when I used to see Mac 10 on fucking TV like crazy. I just want to highlight, give Mac 10 his proper respect, even though Common Sense called him Mac 10. But again.
All right. I want to highlight another album that had a major impact on my life in 1995. It came out later in the year. It was Mr. Smith, James Todd Smith, Ladies Love Cool J. On this album, he had one of my favorite remixes of all time. I Shot Ya.
With Keith Murray, The Birth of Foxy.
Prodigy, Fat Joe, and Foxy.
The Birth of Foxy.
I mean, this is a historic song. It first of all, this is LL Cool J 10 years in the game. You know, he came from the 80s, man. He came from Run-DMC Houdini tours, so he's in 95, still relevant, still had it. The big hit, doing it well. He had Hey Love with Boyz II Men. Boyz II Men was like the biggest harmonizing group of the era during this time. So this album, I loved it. Trackmasters all over it. With a hard body, it came out.
Trackmasters. Hold on, my nigga.
You know what I'm saying?
We gotta show Trackmasters some goddamn respect, man. Come on now.
Okay.
Just wanna put that out there, my dude.
All right, where you going?
How much might you give that album though?
To me, 4. Cause I got definite satisfaction out of it. That's me. I gave it 4 mic. It was a 4 mic album to me personally.
I'm going to go with the group. First of all, let me say this, man. They was under the umbrella of, you can say the Gangstar umbrella, so to speak. They have relationships with Guru, Big Shug, Freddie Fox and those guys, J-Ru and those guys. But I'm going to go to two guys. One guy who was not a particularly good rapper, but he had production to help him, so to speak. Another guy who wasn't a great rapper, but his voice was so ill that it caught you off the rip. I got to say, Premier, this is one of your top 3 beats, in my personal opinion. In my opinion, IMO. I'm going Group Home, my nigga. Living Proof, Group Home. Yeah, not one of the greatest albums, but production, the song Living Proof alone. Oh my God, but man, you a fucking monster, my dude. Yeah, I'm going Group Home.
Production-wise, this album, the production on this album was so powerful.
4.5 mics.
That you could. Okay, I was about to say, what are you talking about?
No, not the album.
Production.
Just beats.
Production-wise, 4.5 mics. The beats on this album was so. The beats, Premier's production overpowered the lyrics. And it made you able to stomach the lyrics because Premier's production was so great. Listen, I bought this album like it was the day it came out. And I bought it happily and was not disappointed because Premier's beats was just that great. Can you imagine that? The production alone was so great, I fucked with it hard by. So I definitely bought this album too. I'm going to hit you with another album. I'm going to the Bronx, Soundview. Fat Joe, Jealous One, Still Envy.
Dope album, my G. Talk about it.
Success, Remix, DJ Premier. Primo, Shit Is Real. Diamond D. I like this album. This was his second album, and I was a Fat Joe fan. This is before Pun. Pun was around, because he's on a song called Watch Out. Pun was around, but it wasn't.
But Joe was still dope. Joe was still dope. Right.
But I like this album. And he did a song where he seemed like he was dissing Bone Thugs and Harmony. Remember that video? He was like, Bone Thugs and Harmony, everybody. Bone Thugs and Harmony. And he'd show.
Nah, he kind of. I thought he was dissing him. I ain't gonna hold you.
You thought he was dissing him, right?
Yeah, that's a fact. Come on.
I thought he was dissing
Sublime,
him.
Sublime.
Just,
it was Sublime. It was Sublime.
Yeah.
It was kind of like, Joe, who you talking about at the time, my G? Come on.
The song Say Word, I love that song. Say Word. I used to love that song. I used to play that song. So I definitely got to highlight Jealous One Still Envy because I copped it, and, you know, that's what it was. You got anything? You got anything you want to mention so people don't feel like their albums are being left out?
I don't.
You got two?
I don't have anything else.
So you got Okay, so Too Short dropped. DJ Quick dropped. What about the Alcoholics, Coast to Coast? You know I got that.
Yo, I fuck with the Licks, my nigga. Tash was my guy. You and I talk about the Alcoholics off air and shit. Big Alcoholics fan. Bro, Tash was dumb nice. Dumb nice. Love DJ Quick. You know, Born and Raised in Compton and Tonight was my shit. But I don't think I was on that particular album, though. That was early. You on TV Raps era when them songs were dropping off Quick album. What was dropped?
No, that's what I wanted to tell you about. Now, you know, the Loonies dropped. They had
I got
their,
five on it.
Yeah. Got five on it.
That was
on
big,
it.
My nigga. That was, my nigga, not for nothing. That was a big-ass single in 95, son.
Yes, it was. It was a huge single. Did you get
that
the
shit
album?
Was huge. That was right up there with Shook Ones and all that, my nigga, to keep it tall. I mean, that wasn't my particular favorite song, but I'm just saying, as being put out there and the promotion for that song, the video being played nonstop, I got five on it. That was like a trademark. And niggas, weed smokers, I got five on it, nigga. Shit was big. Pause.
Are we gonna acknowledge the show soundtrack?
Yes. Well, why not? How could we not? That's an
okay.
album. That's
no.
Nigga, we bought the show. Of course.
Okay.
That's when,
no,
that's when niggas that's when niggas bought that's when soundtracks was a must. Some ill soundtracks, man. The show was dope. Four mics for me.
And
the fucking
your...
and the fucking show. And the movie, the show was dope.
And what about the song How High with Red and Meth?
That's my nigga. That, you know, no disrespect to Smith & Wesson. I know they had Wee songs and Channel Live had Matt Ism, which I liked a lot. How High was big, my dude. I'm just sorry, man. Red and Meth, How High was... That's when niggas was amped. Couldn't wait to hear music from them two niggas, man. That shit set them off right there. Once they did How High, it was like, all right, Red and Meth, y'all got something here. You know what I mean? What year did Blase Blase Easton's in the House come out? What year did that come out?
Well... 95, the single,
okay.
When the East is in the House, oh my God. I'm not sure
when
the album came out, but I know that single.
Blase Blase was trash, but I had the album, it was not good, but that was my joint. I bought that album.
I didn't buy that album. What about WC the Mad Circle? You know, showing the West Coast love. Oh my God, wait a minute. Before I go there, I gotta rewind. AZ Doe or Die, man, Sugar Hill.
Big. This is a guy coming
AZ
off
Doe
of,
or Die.
This is big. A guy coming off Life's a Bitch verse. And off that verse alone, niggas can't wait to hear an album of AZ. Off that verse alone, niggas was amped to hear an AZ verse. Four mics for me, rather unique. More money, more murder, more homicide.
Woo! You like
what, yeah.
you like the Pete Rock produced Rather Unique? You like Pete Rock?
Of course,
on
love
the board?
Rather Unique. Love Rather Unique. You know
okay.
I'm a Pete Rock fan, yes.
Okay.
Definitely.
Okay.
Definitely.
What about the D.O. Period produced More Money, More Murder, More Homicide with Nas? What you talking about that song?
Let me just say, D.O. Period got to get props to another producer under the tutelage of Smooth the Hustler and Trigger the Gambler at camp.
Got
to give D.O. Period. Brooklyn Browns all day, man.
Word. Mm-hmm. He had a big, big single on the song. Sugar Hill? It was a big song. Pataki got all kind of undercover to stop to trap me. Big, big song. Big song, man. Sugar Hill was a big song. So, yeah, I'm giving it four mics. It's not a classic, but I'm definitely giving it four mics.
Four mics.
So, that's you know, we made some albums may have slipped through the cracks. Okay, here's another album I can't let slip through the cracks because it was an impact. Goody Mob's album, Soul Food.
Gotta give it Goody Mob props. I had that album. Got it. Dope album, four mics. Cell Therapy was big, huge. The South is here, my nigga. That's basically under the umbrella of fucking
Dungeon
Family, under the
Organized Noise
and all that. Organized Noise. Yeah, man. Gotta give it up to him.
So I definitely had to shout that out, well, you know. So,
got to, man.
Any other album you want to highlight?
Nah,
or the comment boys like, yo, y'all ain't talking about Brother Lil. Y'all ain't talking about Beastie Boys.
I'm pretty
sure
they're killers. They're killers with some problems. But I think those are the albums that we highlighted that really had an impact It moved the needle, 95.
Okay, so 3-6 Mafia has Taylor Club up.
Big. That was big.
They dropped their album, Miss Isles. They had their song, Taylor Club up. I know it
Taylor
was
Club
big
up
in the South.
Mad Rap City rotation, my nigga. Taylor Club up. Oh, my God. That was on top 10 Rap City and all that.
Right, right. So I highlighted that because
Juicy
I don't want
J,
people saying, yo,
Prince Paul.
Everything. You're missing everything. So, quick. That's it, man. That's all I got for you for 95.
I think we did a good job.
All right.
Y'all niggas tell us what's the next year that want us to do, man. You know what I'm saying? Obviously, we're going to touch on the 2000s. And yes, I see niggas saying, oh, y'all ain't doing artists no more. Yeah, niggas still doing artists, man. But, you know, we love breaking down albums, too. So we'll do an artist this weekend. Make sure we do some artists this weekend. So, you know what I mean? Take us home, IG.
PSA Podcast. Where we ride with LeBron James. We don't ride with Laura Ingram. We don't want LeBron James to shut up and dribble. We want LeBron James to speak his mind and say what he want to say. Okay?
Mm.
PSA Podcast, riding with LeBron James over Fox News all day, every day.
That's a fact. PSA Podcast, home of Emmanuel Mudiay. I see you, my G. We lost yesterday, but he's giving Steph some work, though, man. That's a fizzy, man. All right, man, that's what it is, man. PSA Podcast. Y'all already know what it is, man. Anything popping and moving. We does this in our jazz voice. No disrespect to nobody talking hip-hop and all that. But me and my twin here, you know what I'm saying? This is Jada Styles. This is Ray and Ghost, my nigga. But this is Kareem and Magic. It's Kobe and Shaq, Mike and Scotty, Joe Dumars and Isaiah Thomas. You know what I'm saying? This is Starscreen and fucking Soundwave, nigga. My bad, I'm going too far enough. That's what it is, man. PSA Podcast. Holler at your boys. You already know what it is, man. We out, man. One.